Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Tell a friend.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaft Nation. Hello, Oliver Davis. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I brought my... So this is an audio medium right now, so you can't see that I brought my hands up to do a Daniel Bryan yes chant pose when I said that. And then I kind of did the... That's like the Scott Hall point over.
Shawn Michaels.
And in so doing, I realised how sweaty my bits are.
Yeah, but it's okay because I've bought some deodorant for the studio
now. You bought some studio deodorant.
It's Lynx Africa.
Studio odorant. Studio drinks.
It's one of my favourite Alan Partridge jokes. Mm. Are you wearing Lynx? Voodoo. Java.
Nice. Did you specifically go for Africa because it is the joke deodorant of our youth?
No.
And or do you unironically wear it to this day?
It was all they had in the local Tesco Metro. And also it's not tied into the fact that I was listening to Toto's song Africa before I left the studio.
I remember once coming back from uni. And I saw, this was when, you know, I was quite cool at uni. Mm-hmm. Everyone was into, not the corporations, man. Screw the corporations.
Yeah.
Let's go on a march.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's not got a proper brand name. You buy stuff organic. Mm-hmm. And I go home for a bit and my mum's like, oh, I got you some Lynx.
Oh.
And it was this new Lynx thing where it was a gimmick. It was obviously a gimmick to sell more Lynx. And that was, you have two cans of different fragrances and you spray them in an X motion across your body give you a combined super scent.
No way. I don't remember this at all.
And it was like, as soon as I saw that, all of my pretension dropped to my head. I was like, that's pretty damn cool. I went straight up, go down to the local nightclub, rocked out, and I come back like after the 2 weeks holiday break. I'm like, hey guys, check it out. I felt like I was
such a corporate
sellout.
Yeah,
sellout. Yeah.
Corporate shill.
They were like, get out. You're no longer allowed to live in our house.
I do not remember that. There must have been, because we all get to a certain age where we have stopped wearing Lynx, essentially.
Mm.
And I think you move across to Shore. I think that's kind of the one that you most go to. Shore for men, in this way, because that's when you're a man.
I really hope a deodorant company is listening to this and wants to sponsor our sweaty podcast.
There is a company that should be well ahead of that, and that's Pucker Pie. Mm. The work that me and one of our listeners is doing for Pucker Pie in terms of their reach is undeniable.
So I saw this. You're putting chips in the pie?
Yeah, so the correct way to eat a pucker pie is that you take the lid off and then you dip your chips inside the gravy and then you just basically just consume all of the innards of the pie. And then once that's done, pick up the pie and then fold it so then it's like a pasty. And sometimes you still have like little bits of meat in there or little bits of chips left over and then you and then you have that. It's like two meals in one.
I was a Frey Bentos man.
Oh yeah,
treacherous. If you don't cut the the packaging off correctly. Let's do some iTunes reviews. I love crap gimmicks. Writes Fantastic podcast. This podcast is just amazing. My favourite podcast to listen to. Thank you. I love crap gimmicks.
Nice one.
You should probably listen to some more podcasts, though.
Yeah, I do completely agree with that.
Because there's loads of good ones out there.
Also, when you write reviews for those podcasts, it's going to look very bizarre.
Mm. Yeah, almost like a slur. Stars Can Scream, right? Easily my favourite podcast. I can listen to Ollie and Luke ramble on for hours. I was hesitant to download iTunes on my PC, sticking with their YouTube rambles. But I needed more rambling. It's just so entertaining.
Ah, thanks, Stars Can Scream.
Stars Can Scream.
I do wonder if that's a reference to Transformers and the character Starscream.
Stars Can... possibly. Should we get on with the show?
Why not? I mean, it is Thursday. This is when we tend to feel like we do our best on a Thursday episode.
Because we stop caring.
It's the end of the week.
Yeah.
I don't come into the studio on a Friday, so I'm mentally prepping myself for like just staying at home. Doing work, obviously. I'm working very hard.
You got the remember when real reason stuff to write.
Exactly, yeah. So like, but I'm in almost Friday mode on a Thursday.
Mm.
Sometimes I even think about getting a big breakfast from the chippy down the road.
On a Thursday?
On a Thursday.
On a Thursday, because let's be honest, what Luke really does at home by himself, attached to the internet. WWE Network.
I was going to say, I watch a lot of WWE Network, and I listen to a lot of old Dave Meltzer interviews and read some Observers.
We're not even joking about that. Whereas most other people, me included, would maybe pay a certain lady and Lady Palm and her five glorious sisters a visit.
Madame Palmer and her five lovely daughters.
Not Luke. Luke listens to old Dave Meltzer interviews. So this is a mailbag special. A mailbag special. We haven't got any crap gimmicks this week.
No, we had quite a few come through, but because we've got quite a packed mailbag to get through, maybe we'll do some when we do Monday's Wrestle Ramble, because we're coming into the studio to do that on Monday. So maybe we'll do some things. We're going to be doing a new special on Monday.
Mm. Also, definitely stick around tomorrow if you're watching on Saturday, or 2 days' time if you're watching early this early on Patreon, because Sunday is when my punishment video is going up.
Mm-hmm. How exciting.
Yeah, I've recorded it so many times. So I lost this month's punishment, and I have to do a version of Nia Jax's entrance music.
An excellent song.
Yeah. And I hate it now.
I heard
I've
you
sung
record it
so many times.
I was sitting in our office area, and I could just hear from down the hall you singing it, like belting it out. And I was just sort of like just sitting there chuckling to myself. And then you came back in kind of humming it, and I was singing along, and you're like, oh, could you hear me?
Mm.
And I was like, could I hear you? Not half. Bearing in mind as well, it's not like our studios are next door. The studio where we record stuff's way down the way. It's way down the way.
And soundproofed.
Yes.
That's the worrying thing.
Yeah.
I always thought when I shut those doors, nobody hears me outside.
No.
But now I'm a bit worried. Especially because we sometimes hear mumbling from the next thing over, the next building.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh,
they can hear.
They could definitely hear you recording, mate. Although, it takes some solace in that. Oh, no, there's not. Is there
a quantum of solace?
Just a quantum.
No more than a quantum.
No more than a quantum. I know they do big bags of solace, but I don't want them. No, I was going to say take solace in the fact that the you're not next to a thing, but you actually are. So you are next to the actual building. I thought it was another room, but there isn't. Sorry.
So I recorded it all, just a behind-the-scenes tease for tomorrow. I recorded it four times on Tuesday evening because I was just like, I want to be happy with it. And then I was like, okay, I think I've got it. And I played it back and I sort of kind of tinkered with the editing. I was like, this isn't it. I'm going to have to do it all again tomorrow. So I did it all again the next day. So sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
It got hot in there.
And then you had to go and get your suit fitted for my upcoming wedding.
Yeah, I worked up quite a body odor that the person who was measuring me got right in there, measuring my arm like that, straight into the pits. Should we do some mailbag questions?
Yeah, go on then.
So John McBride of Frankenstein has got in touch. He's a $50 or more Patreon backer. So that fast tracks your questions straight to the mailbag. And he writes, I live in Michigan and I am going to Hell in a Cell a week from Sunday. Wow, that's come round quick.
2 weeks, mate. Every 2 weeks we get a pay-per-view.
Because we had the SummerSlam. There was a gap of like 3-4 weeks either side.
We've got 2 weeks now until Hell in a Cell, within another 2 weeks it's TLC.
Yeah, because I always thought, then, why are we doing so many fantasy booking warfares at the moment? Oh, yeah.
And then another 2 weeks it's Survivor Series.
So, a week from Sunday in Detroit. Which match on the card most excites you and which do you think will be awful? It will be my first pay-per-view live, so I am excited. Love the show, keep up the great work, and keep up the amazing rambling.
I wonder if John McBride of Frankenstein is a fan of the Motor City Machine Guns. I mean, you'd think, like, with national local pride...
That or Eminem.
Or,
I'm trying to think of other Detroit things.
Rhino.
Motown? Wasn't there a big... There was, like, an offshoot contingent of Motown music in Detroit.
What else is set in Detroit?
Defaulting on Debt.
Was oh no, Chicago. I was about to say ER, but this I think that was fun, anyway.
Told you we don't care.
Let's talk about.
But back to Motor City Machine Guns.
Yes, mate.
Which we had a long talk about yesterday.
We did actually. Because I'm such a mark for the Machine Guns. We both always love the machine have
guns.
Been. Yeah.
Yeah. And we haven't yet watched the Machine Guns Young Bucks match.
No, we've got it on the
Ring of Honor.
We've got it on the screen at the moment.
Oh, is it on? Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's wrap this up. Okay. because me and my friend always used to get confused. We like them too.
Yeah.
But their main thing is this.
Yeah.
I've never understood
so
that.
So it's because
they just point at their hand and their taunt.
I believe it's because the palm of your hand looks like North America, and what they're pointing to is where Michigan is or where Detroit is on a map of America.
Can you see that bit on your hand?
That bit there.
No, look at that bit.
What bit?
That bit there.
Oh
I mean... tried to slap his face.
No.
I would have hit the microphone.
You would have
probably
done.
Good that didn't happen.
Yeah. So I think that's what it is.
Okay, well, Motor City Machine Guns, I hope you are a fan, John, from those heady days in TNA.
And current days in Ring of Honor.
They disappeared for a long time,
did
though.
Because well, yeah.
Alex Shelley was part of the Time Splitters with Kushida in New Japan. And Shelley was, he's been injured so much, like with horrific leg injuries.
So good, though.
Yeah. So his injuries.
No, him as a wrestler. Okay, anyway, so answer the question.
Hell in a Cell. I'm just going to quickly run through the card. Obviously, you've got Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens in Hell in a Cell. The other one is New Day and the Usos in Hell in a Cell. Natalya versus Charlotte for the women's title. Jinder versus Nakamura for the WWE title. AJ versus Baron Corbin for the United States title. And grudge matches between Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler about entrances. And Randy Orton and Rusev about Bulgaria being better than the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're Team Bulgaria. What a day it was.
What a day it was. Yeah. So I didn't actually realise... And so, because when we got this email, I thought, can we talk about this? Because I don't think there's been that much announced for Hell in a Cell. There's not really a lot for us to talk about.
It was all announced on Tuesday.
Until we sat down to do this, I was like, oh, there's like an entire card booked.
We already, of course, Nakamura's number one contendership was already decided the week after SummerSlam on SmackDown, maybe.
Yeah.
And McMahon and Owens have been obviously decided with the Vince McMahon headbutt angle 2 weeks ago. Natalya versus Charlotte had, but all the other things like New Day Usos, AJ Baron, Rude Ziggler, Randy Rusev, that was all made on SmackDown.
And I'm still waiting
2 weeks out, 3 weeks.
And I'm still waiting for that US title match to be turned into a three-way come Tuesday.
With Ty.
Yeah, with Ty in there.
So based on just purely that, so let's not add Fashion Police and Hype Bros or whatever other matches might happen.
Well, the Fashion Files might actually revealing who their attacker is, like they meant to do at SummerSlam.
Well, they're back on Tuesday.
They return on Tuesday.
What would you say is the most exciting match there for you?
For me, it's New Day Usos. That is the match I'm most looking forward to on this card. But it's they've been great. I can't think of a bad match that these two have had since this feud. This feud feels like it's been going on for almost a bit too long. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I'm totally down for watching more New Day Usos matches. It was like at SummerSlam when they had their pre-show match, which was just so good. It was like far and away. It was probably one of the best matches on the show. And
I enjoyed it more than the No Mercy. Like, if I had to rank tag matches
absolutely.
In the last few months.
As did I. I think I said that on Wednesday's show. Mm. I think I'm enjoying that feud more. But after that match, Kevin Owens just put out a tweet saying, like, yeah, the New Day and Usos are very good at wrestling.
Kayfabe Owens, come on. Usually you're so good at that.
So I'm really, really looking forward to. And I'm excited to kind of see Bobby Roode back in the ring. It's a bit of a flat feud to debut with on SmackDown Live.
Babyface Bobby.
That doesn't overly enthuse us. I'm not really looking forward to Randy and Rusev having a long match because this whole feud has been predicated on them having very short matches.
Mm.
So that doesn't overly enthuse us. And I'm sure McMahon Owens will be a fun spectacle.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Because when I also picked New Day versus the Usos because they've had such good matches leading up to this. Their last encounter being, you know, probably top 10, top 5 WWE matches of the year so far. And it's now going to be inside Hell in a Cell.
Which is just adds... So
based around the Usos penitentiary idea, which is a great, at least thematic device to tie into. Although, I wanted that ladder match.
I know you wanted that ladder match.
I think they could have done some great things with ladders.
As a question for you, I mean, perhaps I probably should have done some research into this. And because they've not said anything on commentary, has there been a tag team Hell in a Cell match before?
Yeah. DX versus...
With Big Show and the
Legacy.
McMahons.
Oh, and that.
Was that in Hell in a Cell as well?
The Legacy, yeah, so it was Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase against Shawn and Triple H at One Hell in a Cell. That's the one I remember, but you're right, that one as well.
Was that, might have been a cage match,
like
actually?
Mine might have been a cage match. No, he couldn't get in.
I think the one I'm thinking of was a cage match.
I'm sure.
I can't remember.
We're probably both.
To be honest, that DX run, that sort of 2006 DX run, I'm very, very hazy on because I was super TNA at the time. So I was just sort of dipping in and out of WWE back then. Especially the DX stuff because it was dreadful.
The whole idea at the moment is that Shield might reunite to go against Miztourage. And I keep thinking this feels like, you know, what a poor threat that is to come back together. Feels like when Rock and John Cena teamed up to go against R-Truth and The Miz. However, a lot of people have pointed out, what about when DX reunited for the Spirit Squad?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. When you made that joke in the review, I was like, oh, he's going to say DX to game against the Spirit Squad. And then you said that, I was like, oh, actually, that's also a terrible idea.
The link was The Miz. There has been a tag match. But I'm sure they can do it. Not for a long, long time.
No, that's what I think. I certainly couldn't think of one. There isn't one in recent memory. I think McMahon Owens will be fun. Like, McMahon's not the world's greatest wrestler, but like, he can take a bump.
He went toe-to-toe with AJ Styles in a wrestling
match.
Don't
even do that. He can take a bump really well, and he'll probably do something crazy. I don't want to see him dive off the cage.
Well, that's it, because he's already done that. So what is
What it reminds me of is the Foley thing. So, like, he was thrown off the cell in 98, and that was the big thing. That was the Hell in a Cell match. So everyone's like, oh, my God, remember the Hell in a Cell? Yeah, that's the one where Mick Foley got thrown off the top and then went through. And then when he did his next Hell in a Cell match, which was in 2001 against Triple H at No Way Out, he kind of repeated both spots, but did kind of lesser versions of them. So he was just like clinging to the edge, and Triple H kind of pushed him off, and so he took a less of a bump, and it was a much safer bump, which is a good thing, because he wasn't really meant to, like, he was meant to hit the ground harder, well, hit the table harder, but he kind of skidded across it, which is where he really hurt himself. And then he went through, and they gimmicked it so he could, like, just flan straight through, much safer, much better. But at least this time a chair didn't fall down and hit him in the face, which is the worst thing about it. But both bumps felt like much lesser versions. So what I don't want is like for Shane to just throw himself off the cage just because he did it at WrestleMania and now everyone's expecting him to do it. Yeah. I think it'd be much better if neither of them go to the top of the cage this time round. The crowd will likely crap all over that, but yeah. I think from a storytelling perspective and a legacy perspective for Shane, that'd be a much better idea.
Unless... package power driver through the top of the cage.
I mean, that's
how do you take that?
I was going to say that sounds a bit too like video game for my liking.
Totally, what that would be the first thing I do on WWE 2K18? Just run up to the top.
Yeah, exactly. It's like my mate
trying to balance ladders on it so I can jump off a ladder through a table, through Hell in a Cell, through a couple of tables at the bottom.
Yeah, that was like my friend used to say. Like, he goes, "Oh, I don't understand. Like, why don't WWE do like a Hell in a Cell ladder match? So where like you've got to put the ladder up on top of the cell climb up." And I'm like, well, because clearly they're not going to do that. That's incredibly dangerous.
They're not WCW. So, yes, we are, of course, very much looking forward to New Day and Usos. And it's nice to see that WWE recognise the magic that these two teams have together, because they put them in Hell in a Cell, despite the feud not really necessarily dictating that. It's not like, you know, they're trying to stop people from interfering, although there is the penitentiary theme to it. But there's... it's also, they've been running those promos.
Yeah.
Which have been so good. It's just like a promo based around, this is the last time these two teams are going to fight. I'm like, I don't believe you for a second, but I'm into it.
And you actually saying there that the cage is usually used to stop people doing the interference ties in nicely to a match that we've actually yet to really talk about on this Hell in a Cell card, which is Jinder versus Nakamura.
So this is my pick for probably the most awful.
Yeah, it's a match I'm not overly looking forward to. Okay, so... I think the Jinder experiment's done with now.
Until Rumble, apparently.
Well, no, I get that, but like, it feels like it's run its course. And I'm not saying that as a, oh, just get the title off of him, he sucks, he's awful. Because he carries himself like a star. I think he looks great with the belt. I kind of like his promos.
From a purely superficial
standpoint.
From
a very superficial standpoint, I'm perfectly fine with Jinder. The problem I've had with Jinder as champion hasn't actually even really been his matches, because while they've not been great, I enjoyed the Punjabi Prison. I was one of the few that did. It's all of the storylines that he's been given have been diabolically bad. And I'm not excited for this match, because the three-week build we've had for this has been woefully awful. Like, really bad. It felt like Road Dogg and his team, so it was like, we've got 2 weeks until the pay-per-view, so let's write this out. Oh, wait, we've got six? Oh, no. Oh, dear. Well, let's just stretch these 2 weeks we had planned out over six, and it'll be fine. It'll all work itself out.
The only thing I can think that might change Jinder's fortunes here, because I don't... Well, hopefully he's never going to get the belt back unless he drastically improves after the whole Cena thing at Royal Rumble, which is the reported plan. And that is, there's a few shows in India in December.
Mm-hmm.
And if he goes there as a homecoming hero, and they run those packages, like when he first won and they did all the media coverage packages.
I wish they'd done more of that.
Yeah, like that could be cool, and it could make him feel like a
big deal. Make him feel like a champion, which I don't think they've done, which is like they've always put him in, you know, the first hour of the show. They've never presented him as the main event.
The main event right now is, well, it's a McMahon, isn't it?
So well,
it's
well, McMahon of course it is, and yeah. So you have to drop down when a McMahon's involved, yeah.
So the, yeah, it's, and weirdly, this is the main match, the main storyline that is about other people trying to interfere in the match. And that's the only one that doesn't have the Hell in a Cell stipulation.
It's almost as if it's not being used correctly.
What? But yeah, from a work rate perspective, I think this is going to be a pretty bad match. You were a fan of their SummerSlam encounter. I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect more of the same. I think everyone else has got the ability to have a much better match. So that's why I pick awful there.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Paul E. Dangerously Jarman writes, well, he actually writes a lot of stuff, a very long, convoluted setup, which we have read and we find it very funny.
He'd had a couple of beers when he wrote this,
by his own admission. I've had a beer and a couple of Malms. So if this is all just too convoluted and not even mildly humorous, my question is...
It's the combination of beer and Malwam.
Yeah. Is what is your three-person dream team of commentators from WWE, past or present, dead or alive? Now, the thing to this, I'll actually read out this first bit, is you have also... blah, 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 there's so much here. So which three... Please note that this isn't which three commentators are the best of all time. It's which three would make the best commentating team.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. So this is an interesting one. Naturally, I only want a two-person team. So that's already put me at on a way turf. Have you got anyone? Obviously, Lance Catamaran would be the first option for both of us.
Well, I mean, obviously. But like, my childhood always would pick JR. But that's the thing. It's like, when... So, instantly, I was like, JR's got to be my lead commentator. However, I want to put the asterisk there to say, like, JR circa 1998 to 2001. Like, that's the JR that I want. I don't want jaded JR that we have now. Mm. I don't want unenthusiastic JR from, like, when, like, 2006, 2007. I want my Attitude Era JR, when he was just being Jim Ross, and he was just calling the action what it was, and he was getting enthusiastic about it, and he was getting involved in storylines, and not just there just going, just saying words and just reading from a script and having people yelling in his ear.
Yeah, totally agree. When he really gets behind the baby faces as well.
Yeah.
That's my favourite JR. We both agree JR is our main play-by-play guy.
Mm-hmm.
So what dynamic would you... So it's about who fills those other two slots.
Well, that's it, yeah.
What dynamic are you going to go for?
Well, okay, so, I mean, the other name that instantly jumped out to me was Bobby Heenan. Because Bobby isn't a great heel commentator, particularly when one of his guys is in there. The great example is Royal Rumble 92, when he was so behind Rick.
Just Blair. Incredible.
Just awesome stuff.
Possibly one of the all-time great calls of a match,
yeah.
Bobby Heenan's 92 Rumble.
Like, just Bobby's just... He was just great at being Bobby Heenan and cheering on those dirty heels and stuff. So he's grand. So I'm always thinking, like, yeah, I'd love Bobby there as well, because he can rile JR up. Because JR's there, like, supporting the babyfaces, that these babyfaces are fighting against Bobby's guys, and Bobby's like, no, he's the best one. He's the best one, Jim.
It's not just that the beauty about Heenan is that it wasn't just he's the best one, he's better than everyone else. He'd have just such annoying ways to explain and retroactively explain, like, heels' actions. I mentioned the barbershop window angle in a news recently. A lot of people commented, it wasn't like... Obviously, Shawn Michaels super-kicked Mark Giannetti, or threw him, I can't remember which, through the barbershop window.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people commented underneath that video, Bobby Heenan's cool, which was, he didn't super-kick him, he tried to escape. And it's just like, no, he really obviously did, but it's so funny as well. It's like, you're both annoyed, and it's like internet trolls.
Yeah, totally.
It's what it's the stupid version of that was.
So that's where I'm currently sitting at the moment, but now I've got to try and find my third person.
So about this, so of course JR works so well with Jerry the King Lawler.
Mm-hmm.
You would trade out Jerry for Heenan.
But the thing is, again,
this is
where I was, because actually my favourite commentary team from the Attitude Era was JR and Heyman. Because I loved Heyman on commentary, because Heyman was so good at winding JR up and supporting, particularly ECW or former ECW guys. Like, the reason why Rhino was so over in 2001 is because Paul Heyman was on commentary constantly talking about, he's the last ECW champion from the mean streets of Detroit, Michigan. And just like, oh my God, this guy sounds like a legit dude. Like, he sounds great. And there's a point in, I can't remember which show it is, it might be King of the Ring, when Paul Heyman makes a point, a very valid point, and JR doesn't respond to it. And Paul just goes, oh, it's all right, Jim, I'll do it for you. Great point, Paul. Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much. It's kind of you say so.
So obviously, I really like Paul Heyman on commentary. Personally, though, if I was to pick my all-time, he's a bit overbearing for me.
Yeah.
If I was to be hypercritical, so that's why he wouldn't be on my dream booth.
Yeah, but you talk about, like, the JR and Jerry. Sorry, I had to keep my words out there. JR and Jerry is, like, they were the dream team of the Attitude Era. It's one of the reasons why it's kind of so revered, is because the commentary is so great. Because, again, Jerry was a great heel commentator, cheering on the McMahons, cheering on Kurt Angle. He's my hero! But hating Right to Censor because they went against his values. He was a very, very solid heel.
I don't think, because I'm so tied to the King character of the Attitude Era, whereas all the other guys I can take out and they still work in this day and age, I don't think Puppy's Era King
could
get by in 2017.
That's something I'd have to take out, because that's when he was just, it's gross to listen to, especially looking back on it now, it's just very, it's odd to listen to.
The man likes boobies.
He really does, but it's distracting at the same time, because he's distracted because he can't focus on what's going on. It's thoroughly irritating.
So that's why I chose Heenan over.
That's why I was going Heenan over King.
So yeah, who do you put in that last bit? So should we say it 3-2-1 Byron Saxton?
Well, obviously, you need the straight guy.
Not just a straight guy, you need a non-Caucasian guy.
Well,
This is the danger we're going to fall into.
I mean, I was going to go Booker T, to be honest, because I need someone there to constantly make silly comments and have people correct him.
Oh, I just don't want to think about Booker T at the moment.
So I'm in a quandary at the moment because I feel like, okay, so I've gone like early 90s mm-hmm. with my Bobby.
Choose my guy, by the way.
Depends on who you've written down.
Well, let's see what you say.
I'm really behind Corey Graves at the moment.
Okay.
I'm cool. Really behind Corey because Corey is very good at balancing the face heel dynamic. He would be so good against with Bobby Heenan, especially if he's on Bobby's side. Mm. But he'd equally be very good against Bobby Heenan when he's cheering, when he's talking about how good a guy that's not one of Bobby's guys. So that's kind of where I'm thinking with Corey Graves. However, I'd imagine the person you have written down is Mr. Nigel McGuinness.
It is.
And the reason why Nige would be so good in that role is because he has got such an extensive wrestling background. He brings, and this is why I love him on NXT, he brings the wrestling side of it, where he sits there and is like, okay, well, this is good because from a wrestling standpoint, this means this and that means that. And by doing this, you alter this. And that's, from my commentary team, that's really missing. Yeah. So I'd like to take that element and put that into the Corey role as a former wrestler. And use some of that expertise to tell that story.
Mm. We just watched the Oney Lorcan Lars Sullivan match from this week's NXT, which, what, they hit each other pretty hard.
Didn't they just?
But no, McGuinness's calls from it, just the little things, but they mean so much. When he's like, just look at the momentum there at that final, when they're showing the replay for the finisher. He doesn't even need to hook the leg, but because he knocked him out. Really nice, insightful things that you wouldn't have thought of ever, because we're not combat athletes. No. We don't look out for that sort of stuff.
And Corey can bring that.
Not credibly, though.
I think Corey, he's a former NXT tag team champion.
Yeah,
which is credibility to
McGuinness,
some degree.
But like, wrestling.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, McGuinness,
15 years.
Okay, McGuinness is more of a credible thing. But what I'm saying is that Corey can bring that to the Raw commentary desk and the SmackDown commentary desk and whatever other commentary they make him do. He can bring that. They just don't let him do that. Now, the argument could be that Bobby's a former wrestler, he could do it in his own right, but that's not his character. Mm. His character was never to be that. His character was to be essentially a manager, but behind a commentary desk.
Yeah, so you've got the babyface heel dynamic with JR and Heenan in my team, and then you've got the not the play-by-play, but the wrestling insight. If you have to have a three-man booth, I'd have McGuinness there. Honourable mention as well, because he hasn't done any commentary for about a year now, and I miss him so much. Steve Corino. He turned into my favourite commentator after McGuinness stepped away from Ring of Honor, which has since come back.
And you said you've been enjoying Colt on commentary as well, doing.
I like Colt. Yeah. I just like podcasts. I just feel happy when I hear Colt's voice.
Yeah. Where do you stand on Stryker?
I liked Stryker when he started.
Yeah.
But then I found him a little bit overbearing. I thought he was unfairly heavily criticised, though. What about you?
I was always a fan of Stryker
when he was the teacher,
when he was the teacher character, no, but when he was like in the commentary booth and stuff like that, because he felt like everything that WWE hated, and that's kind of why I liked him a little bit, I suppose, because he would say things like, "I'm marking out, bro," which some people would look at him as like, "Oh, you idiot."
I didn't
at the same time, we're at home marking out, so you're like, "Oh, he's one of us." Mm. Like, he sounds like I do here, so that's always good. But at the same time, I mean, I will say, I think, is it Wrestle Kingdom 10 that he did, or Wrestle Kingdom 9? No, I think it was 10 he did with Yoshi Tatsu.
Oh, that's, infamously awful.
But it's Stryker is the best thing on that, though. Because Stryker is so good. Like, because when he realises that Yoshi is being awful, just does it on purpose to make Yoshi sound even worse, because then he can sound better because of it. So he'll ask Yoshi a question, he'll say nothing, and be like, "Great insight, Yoshi, great insight."
Okay, so here it is, the title of the video in defense of Roman Reigns. David McKenzie has specifically donated on Patreon to have a word with this guy here, Luke Owen.
That is correct, Amanda. So, David and I have had quite a lot of tete-a-tete back and forth on Twitter.
So I'm going to be David McKenzie. I'm going to channel David McKenzie, and you are going to channel Luke Owen.
Me.
I keep going back and forth with Luke on Twitter regarding Roman Reigns. I would like to clarify my position on him, as I don't believe I can in 140 characters.
Which is fair enough.
You can also make the joke of, well, you don't have to now, you've got 280.
Yeah.
I don't believe that Reigns is particularly good in the ring, and almost feel like it's become the internet fan thing to say, well, you know, he actually is really good in the ring. Like, you've noticed something we haven't. He simply isn't great in the ring. He is simply okay. He has a very limited moveset, which means when he isn't in a gimmick match, it usually comes down to the other person to carry the load of that actual wrestling. I do think, however, he is a great bumper and is really good at big match spots. I personally think the Cena-Reigns match proves how limited he can be in the ring, and all of his matches are booked the same way. He takes an almighty beating, at the Superman punch, and then the spear, 1, 2, 3. He is an amazing athlete, and not all these things are his fault. If he was booked as a heel, he would be brilliant, almost like an early Triple H, and I really think the crowd would go for it, and his as a smug face and attitude would get him over, then maybe in a few years' time they can try and make him the top face again. The predictability of him kicking out the protected F5 in the main event at Mania isn't something I'm looking forward to, and think we can see from this far out it isn't good storytelling. But the booking isn't his fault. I just want to clarify so you know I am anti-Reigns. I just think the idea that he is athletic and good in a gimmicky spot fest doesn't make him good in the ring, especially if he's meant to be this underdog fighting babyface. Keep up the great work, yada yada yada. I hate you, Luke.
Pretty much, yeah.
So yes, I'll give you the floor.
Okay, so if Reigns wasn't in this spot, if he wasn't the top guy, if he wasn't coming out as, oh, it's the big dog, he's Roman Reigns, if he hadn't had the four WrestleManias in a main events in a row, if he wasn't the guy that we're building up Brock Lesnar and sacrificing everyone else just so Roman can beat him at WrestleMania, if he wasn't that guy and he was just a mid-card act consistently having great matches like he does, just consistently having great matches, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Absolutely, 100%, we would not be having this conversation. But because he has been forced down our throats, and he is in the main event, and he is the guy, and he has had the four WrestleMania main events, where he will have the four WrestleMania mains in a row, and we are protecting Brock Lesnar and the F5, and sacrificing Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe, just so we can make Brock seem more awesome, so it seems even better when Roman beats him, despite the fact that no one likes him. We do have to have these conversations, because Roman then becomes the guy that people are like, ah, yeah, but he's terrible, and he sucks, because I personally don't like him. And that's fine. I'm not the biggest Roman Reigns fan. I think his character is pretty awful. Absolutely awful. And I feel that he is, we've said it before, he's in a great storyline, but they're booking a great storyline with the wrong guy. And that's, you know, that's an issue. That is absolutely an issue. However, I will never say that he's bad in the ring, because he's had consistently good matches, more or less since he came up to the main roster. Whether he was part of the Shield, whether he wasn't part of the Shield, he is always having consistently great matches. Now, the argument that you always get from that is like, ah, yeah, but he's carried to great matches, which is something I disagree with, because it does take two to tango, and it comes to a point when you do keep having consistently great matches that you're like, maybe he is just good. Maybe he's as good as the other guy, and together they're having these very good matches. And the other one as well is like, you're like, yeah, he's always, they always put him with guys that are better than him, which would explain why his matches with Braun Strowman were so good. You remember Braun Strowman? He was the guy that wasn't good enough to be on NXT TV. You remember him? So yeah, apparently he then had to carry Roman Reigns into good matches. I think Roman Reigns is a very good in-ring wrestler. He's just in a very, very bad position.
I do, yeah. I mean, that's effectively what both me and you think, so there's not much not much debate there, from us at least, but yeah. Obviously other people think differently.
Obviously, and they're not wrong to think so. If it's not your style of wrestling, because, like, for example, I love flip-de-doo wrestling. Like, I love watching Will Ospreay and Ricochet doing all their big flip-de-doos and their big choreographed stuff. I think that's fantastic to watch. It really is my thing. Big powerhouse wrestling, like the things like Roman does and things like Braun does, not usually really my cup of tea. Even back in the day, the main event scene wasn't really what I was most interested in. I was never really interested in Austin matches. I was interested in Austin builds and Austin storylines, but Austin matches, not so much. It's not really for me. Hogan's is the same way, but I loved the undercard of, like, your Hardys, your Edges and Christians, your Benoits, your Jerichos. I loved all that. That was my sort of style. So if doing the five moves of doom, which everyone has, is not your thing, then you're never going to like Roman Reigns. But I won't say, just because it's not for me, that he's not good at it.
I think another problem is with the criticism, it usually is, Roman's had a good match, it must be the other person.
Yeah.
And then if he has a bad match, oh, it's Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns is bad,
because,
yeah.
Because, The John Cena Reigns match wasn't amazing. I thought it was only slightly above average. But like that's on John or whatever happened in the corner of the match there. And like just, you know, the occasional TV match, the Miz match was fine.
Yeah. His match with Jordan was great.
The Jason Jordan match was very good. But yeah, those Strowman matches, they weren't all big gimmick spot fests. Some of them were just, I mean, they did all include big spots, but they weren't all stipulation matches. And even in a stipulation match, you've got to be pretty talented to carry a guy around those spots.
Yeah.
Not carry, but because Strowman's very good in himself. But he's still very green. And I think I've read in an interview, he's actually said, I'm still very green, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
He's doing a remarkable job. And WWE, to be fair, of protecting him. But there are some... You do bring up some good points, David. And that is the... Oh, where was it? He is better in big matches, like those big spot matches.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Because like, as with anyone, sort of a big spot match can kind of hide anyone's particular weaknesses. It's that Paul Heyman thing. It's hiding the weakness, accentuating the positives. And accentuating the positives is he's a big dude and he looks impactful when he does his big stuff.
And you're also right that having him as a heel... And his natural wrestling style does seem more suited to a heel.
He wrestles matches like a heel.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so does Cena. Like back in those dark periods, when everyone hated him before he became cool again. And Hogan, like Hogan used to rake the back and poke the eyes. I don't think the eyes, man.
That's a proper heel move.
But it's like it's weird how these big baby faces who were getting negative reactions at some points in their career, they do all kind of wrestle a heel way. I don't know if that's by accident or if it is just something.
Austin was a heel.
Natural.
Austin. Yeah. Austin was. He's supposed to be a heel character, but he got over as a babyface, and WWE was smart enough to capitalize on that. Which is why then, when he did the heel turn in 2001, to him it made sense because I'm supposed to be a heel anyway. I didn't want to be a babyface.
The main thing I disagree with you, David, is that. This isn't good storytelling because you can see the predictability of him kicking out of the F5.
That's the thing I disagree with as well.
Because if you just imagine they doing everything the same, but it was Daniel Bryan in the Roman Reigns slot. And Bryan's storming through people and Lesnar's storming through people. Both their finishing moves are being protected. Cena raises Bryan's arm at the end.
Yeah.
You know, how much not all punks.
Yeah. Or AJ Styles.
Or AJ Styles. Like how much cooler would everything be if you were invested in the baby face that's meant to be triumphant at the end? When they do kick out of that F5, you can see it coming, but in that moment it's going to feel like a big deal. Like, I know Captain America isn't going to die in the vast majority of his movies, but I still get like, is everything okay? I know he's okay, but I'm invested, because that story did you forget it's a work.
I get this a lot on Twitter when they're complaining about WWE, just saying like, oh, I hate WWE at the moment because it's too predictable. Which it's a complaint I don't overly get, because if you were building, as use an example, at the moment on SmackDown they've been building towards Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens, and they've been telling this story, so like, okay, oh well, it's so predictable that they're going to have a match at the pay per view. If they'd done all this build and then at the pay per view it was Shane McMahon versus Aiden English. I mean, you wouldn't see it coming. That's not predictable, but it's not good storytelling.
Yeah. WWE is very much predictable in we're going to get the same matches every week building up the same match. Are they specifically talking about the storytelling?
Specifically just like, oh, every time they start something, I can see where it's going. As if that... And I can see why that's an issue, but like the point I'm making is that if you just automatically change something, that doesn't instantly make it good just because it's unpredictable. So that's the Vince Russo way of doing it.
Swerve.
Of just doing swerves all the time. And when Vince Russo was just doing swerves all the time, it made the product unwatchable.
Well, hopefully we've defended Roman. Yeah, so we're all in agreement, I think. He can wrestle.
He's not like...
I wouldn't put him in the... top 10 wrestlers in WWE?
No, absolutely not.
But he's that's because WWE's roster is insanely talented.
It's stacked, especially if you include NXT in that as well. Like, you could probably rank to the top 10 in NXT on its own, and then some of the guys that are on the main roster. But that doesn't mean then that he's bad in the ring.
But he is miscast as a
completely miscast, and that's his issue. How much heat are we going to get from that show?
Hopefully not too much, because we are... It's the same thing we say all the time. Where I can see it backfiring is the title and thumbnail will be in defense of Roman Reigns. So people enter it triggered.
Yeah.
triggered.
And they will write their comment before they've actually even watched that section of the video.
Yeah. Plus, like, I never feel comfortable with an argument. Like, I always walk away thinking, oh, I could have added this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to write an email next time. I'm going to stop doing live stuff.
Yep.
Just write emails to people. I don't know how that will get over. Should we do some iTunes reviews?
Yeah, go on, why not?
Because we've got to do some more personalised videos.
We certainly have. This. In this sweaty studio that we're currently in. Still too sweaty.
Finn will pick another. Finn? Fine. Ah! This is the problem with the capital I and the lowercase l.
Yeah.
It's actually fine, I'll pick another.
Good username.
But it looks like final. Finnal pick another. Nothing better. As a person that grew up loving wrestling alone, there is nothing better than having these two. Luke and Ollie have such a way of doing the podcast where you feel like you're there. It makes me sad that I can't donate on Patreon. These guys are funny and do know what they're talking about. So you should listen to this podcast.
So should you listen to this podcast?
Yes.
Man.
Cheers, Finnell.
Thanks, Finnell.
Nice one, Finnell. And Jonathan Version 1 writes,
The One!
The best wrestling podcast out there.
Again, not correct.
I love this podcast. The way they break down the current events is a breath of fresh air. I subscribed and you should as well. Professional. If you're really feeling froggy, you should do what I did and become a Patreon.
Oh, good lad. Good lad, V1er.
What is if you're feeling froggy?
Well, that is, I mean, I don't know if this is exactly what it is, but it's a term that a lot of commentators use whenever they're going to go up and do a frog splash. Oh, Eddie's feeling froggy.
Okay. Oh, so it's like that. So, yeah. Cool. That works.
I mean, I'm going to guess that's what he meant.
Cheers, V1.
Lovely stuff.
We will see. Tune into the WrestleTalk YouTube channel tomorrow, podcast listeners. That will be Sunday. Because my Nia Jax punishment video is going to go up.
I can't wait. I've not even seen it yet.
No, well, it's not been edited. That's why. Got to do it. And yes, we'll catch you on Monday for a news episode.
Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.